Welcome to Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland, bringing you practical truths from the Word of God that will assist you in living victoriously in every arena of your life. This program is brought to you by Hidden with Christ Ministries of Tustin, California. Now, here's Rita with Keys to Victorious Christian Living.
Hello, friends. Today I want to share with you a message I like to call intense faith. In Romans 4, verses 19 through 21, we find these words. And this scripture refers to Abraham and how he faced staggering promise of God that he, as an old man, could have a child, and he could have this child through his wife Sarah, who was 90 years old. The scripture tells us, without growing weak in faith, he could note his own vital powers now decayed, for he was about 100 years old, and Sarah's barrenness. Nor did he in unbelief stagger at God's promise, but had intense faith, giving glory to God and being absolutely certain that whatever he had promised, he can also carry out. I like that description of Abraham, that he had intense faith and that he didn't stagger in unbelief at God's promise, even though the situation looked absolutely impossible. There are several aspects to Abraham's intense faith that I think would be good to take note of today. Whatever you're facing today, whatever promise of God you're trying to hold on to and believe for, and you're facing on the other side the intense impossibility of your situation, I think that you will be encouraged by this scripture today. Abraham had his own physical impossibility. And then he was also confronted with the fact that Sarah also had a lifetime of barrenness. And on top of just being barren, she was now 90 years old. She was way past childbearing age. And yet, God made a promise, and he made sure that he didn't give Abraham that promise until it was impossible in the natural, so that God's supernatural possibilities could come to pass. The first thing that you can observe here is that intense faith is able to look at the current circumstances and not weaken in faith. It says here in Romans 4 that without growing weak in faith, Abraham could take note of the fact that his own vital powers were decayed and Sarah's barrenness. So you can simply say that Abraham was able, without being shaken up by it, to look at his own circumstances and still believe God and not be moved by what he saw. Paul said in Acts 20:24, none of these things move me. And he was referring to the multitude of difficulties that he had encountered in his walk with God and in his obedience to God. He had faced trial after trial, circumstance after circumstance, near-death experiences, and yet he was able to say, though great pressures had come against him, that none of these things moved him. He was not moved by any of them. He was simply moved by what the word of the Lord said. So intense faith is able to look at the current circumstances and not weaken in faith. A lot of people accuse those who preach that you need to walk by faith of being denying their circumstances or denying the reality that they're facing. And I clearly see here in Romans 4 that Abraham in no way was in a state of denial about his bodily functions. He knew he was 100 years old. He knew that his own vital powers had decayed and that his own wife's womb was barren and beyond childbearing possibilities in the natural. And yet, with intense faith, he was able to observe the current circumstances and not weaken because he believed God. So that's the first thing that you're going to need to be able to do to walk a life of faith, is you're going to have to be able to look at your current circumstances and not be moved by them and not weaken in faith, not grow weak in faith by looking at what's going on. I recommend you don't focus on that. I recommend you focus on God's promise to you, just like Abraham did. He focused on the promise of God, but he wasn't in denial about his circumstances. You need to know what to look at, that's the Word of God and the promise of God, and what not to look at, what not to focus on. Don't focus on your current circumstances. Focus on God's Word and how He's going to bring you out and over and above your circumstances. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 13 and 18 talk about things which are seen as being temporal. And that word temporal means that the things which are seen are subject to change. You are facing some circumstances right now that look impossible. But you know what? They're really just temporal. They're subject to change. And if you'll apply faith, that unshakable, unmovable trust in God, in His Word, and in His character, despite what your circumstances may say, you will see those temporal circumstances change before your very eyes. Smith Wigglesworth once said, "If the enemy can move you from a place of faith, he can get you outside of the plan of God." God's plan for you is victory. God's plan for you is overcoming. God's plan for you is that you are more than a conqueror, but you will face circumstances that you're going to have to conquer. You're going to face circumstances you're going to have to overcome, and it will be done by faith, or by intense faith, like Abraham's. The second observation I'd like to make about intense faith, as mentioned here in Romans 4, is that intense faith does not stagger at the promise of God through unbelief. First of all, it didn't stagger at the circumstances, and it didn't stagger at the hugeness of God's promise through unbelief. Unbelief simply means to doubtingly question or waver. Sometimes God's promise seems so big and so good that it almost seems too good to be true. Certainly Abraham and Sarah must have felt that way. Here they were, 100 years old and 90 years old, and God's promising they're going to have a bouncing baby boy. And both he, Abraham, and Sarah certainly must have thought that promise sounded too good to be true. However, Abraham did believe God, and he didn't stagger at the promise. He didn't stagger at the possibility of God bringing a brand new bouncing baby boy to their lives, not by adoption and not by immaculate conception, but through the normal channels of child bearing and conception. And so don't let your faith stagger at God's promise. Maybe you have a prodigal son or daughter out there. Maybe you have a marriage that seems to be completely headed for divorce. Do not let the promise of God, that God can turn any situation around and that He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you could ask, think, or imagine with regard to your situation, don't let that promise seem too good to be true. Take a hold of it. It is true. It's God's Word. It's for you. God wants you to have it. He wants you to get that victory. He wants to see you overcome and be more than a conqueror in your marriage, with your prodigal children, with your finances, with your health battles. He wants you to be victorious in life. That's why He died and shed His blood for us to have spiritual and physical and emotional victory and every type of victory that you'll need in this life. Jesus died on that cross so that we could be set free. And we are told in Galatians 3 that we've been redeemed from the curse of the law through Jesus' death and resurrection. We were redeemed from the curse of the law. And the curse of the law included separation from God forever, so spiritual death, but it also included financial disaster, because the curses, you can read them in Deuteronomy 28, basically hit on sickness, illness, disease coming upon people who are disobedient to God, and lack and poverty coming upon a person who is disobedient to God. And the Word tells us that by Jesus' death and through His blood and through that resurrection power, we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Though we broke the law, we don't have to reap the consequences of breaking the law because God covered it with the blood of Jesus. So you can have victory with your children, with your marriage, with your finances, with your health, with any situation you're facing today. Don't stagger at the hugeness and the greatness of the promise of God through unbelief, saying, I doubt that could happen. That's unbelief speaking. Don't allow the promise to seem impossible to you. Say, God, you're the God of impossibilities. I believe you. Intense faith also glorifies and praises God before it sees the promise come to pass. Abraham praised God before he had the promised child Isaac in his arms. It says here in Romans 4:19-21, we see the words that Abraham had intense faith, giving glory to God and being absolutely certain that whatever he had promised, he could also carry out. So we see here that Abraham gave glory to God, or you could say gave praise to God. And he was certain about God's promise. And he did that praising and that giving of glory to God before he saw the child born into his family. Before he received the son, that precious promise of Isaac's life in come into his life. He gave him thanks and praise for it being true before he saw with his eyes that it was true. Many people stumble right here when they're trying to believe God. They have a hard time thanking God, thank you, Lord, for healing my body, because they feel like they are lying or they are being a hypocrite. But let me ask you a question. Suppose you were a college student and a well-known multimillionaire philanthropist approached you and said, I've decided I'm going to pay your college tuition, books, room and board, complete all your expenses, until you graduate from college, and then if you graduate and want to go on for a master's or a PhD, I'm going to cover all your expenses. I'm going to pay for the whole thing because I really believe in education. Now, if that happened in your life, what would you do? Would you refrain from giving thanks to this person until you saw if he really did what he said? Or would you thank him profusely, believing him, fully persuaded that he was able to carry out what he promised? You've seen him, you knew of this person that he'd done it for other students. He promises to do it for you. Wouldn't you thank him in advance before you saw the tuition paid, the books bought, the degree completed, all expenses paid? Of course you would. You'd thank him profusely. You'd praise that person's name to other people. You'd say, this is the greatest guy I ever met in my life. He's paying all my school, college expenses. You would be praising and giving glory before you saw that the word that was promised to you actually came to pass. So I would say to you, we can do no less with God. Abraham didn't do any less. It says he didn't stagger in unbelief at the promise. But he had intense faith. He gave glory to God, being certain that what God had promised, he could carry out. So he began to praise God and thank God for his son that was coming. He thanked him for that son. He thanked him for what God had promised, that he'd have multitudes of descendants through this son, more than the stars of the sky or the sand on the seashore. He began to praise and give glory to God before he ever saw the promise in a natural reality. It's vital for you to do likewise. If we're going to have intense faith that will get a hold of the promises of God and bring them from the realm of the spirit into the realm of the natural where we live in the land of the living, we're going to have the Abraham kind of faith. We're going to have the faith that will praise God and give God the glory before it sees the promise come to pass. God is a God who keeps his promises, and he's worthy of our thanks and our praise for it. Intense faith is also absolutely certain that whatever God has promised, He can carry it out. Abraham was fully satisfied and assured that God was able and mighty to keep His word and to do what He had promised. That's what it says in the Amplified Version of Romans 4:21. Abraham was assured, fully satisfied, that God was able to keep His word and to do what He had promised. Are you fully satisfied and fully assured that God is able and mighty to keep His word to you and to do what He's promised to you? In order to get to the place where you are fully persuaded or fully satisfied and assured, you're going to have to know what the Word of God says, and then you're going to have to decide that God's Word and His promises are truer than any impossibilities that you're facing in your life right now. God can turn your marriage around. God can turn your prodigal son around. God can turn your finances around. Will you trust Him for it? Will you believe Him? Will you line up your faith with the Word of God? Will you begin to trust Him with your heart and not lean on your own understanding? Because your own understanding will get you in trouble. Your own understanding will try to assess it with the natural mind and will try to analyze your situation and try to come up with natural plans to get you out of this problem. But God does not want you to be a person that walks by the carnal mind. We've got a whole world full of those people, and they aren't doing very well for themselves. We need to be people of faith, people of God, who believe the Word of God, who take God's Word perfectly seriously. And we know that God is not only able, but He desires to do what He has promised. And you know, it's what's interesting and to me amusing about Abraham and Sarah. Abraham had Isaac, this promised child, at the age of 100. And then he and Sarah lived to raise Isaac to adulthood. And then after Sarah died at 127 years old, and at that time Abraham was 137, Abraham remarried and had 6 more children. Now, he had some intense faith, didn't he? He believed God could overcome his natural lack and do things that were impossible. And he received it. He received truly the impossible in his lifetime many times over. God wants to do that for you. Are you a person that can take God's word, take His promise, and not stagger at how big and how awesome it is, and not stagger at how impossible your circumstances seem, and give glory and thanks to God before you see the promise come to pass? It's vital for you to have the victory. You're going to have to be persistent in the Word of God. You're going to have to take the Word that applies to your case and stand on it and believe beyond what you see, and be very, very vigilant to guard your mouth and not say things that would be contrary to God's Word or full of doubt and unbelief, but instead say what God says. No, I will receive my promise. It's on the way. God's already won it for me, and I'm waiting to receive it in my hands right now. It's vital for you to be very, very persistent in believing God's Word. I want to share with you a precious story of that I believe beautifully pictures the difference between somebody who believes God in the intellectual sense, believes what God's Word says in the intellectual sense. Yes, I know God can do the impossible, and yet when it comes down to their own circumstances, this individual couldn't imagine how God could do it. Now, God wants you to believe God not just in your head, but in your heart. Not just because it's in black and white in your Bible, but in your spirit, knowing that beyond a shadow of a doubt, no matter what it took for God to do to intervene, He could turn things around in a moment. This is a true story that was told by an African missionary doctor, and this is a woman, missionary doctor who is from England, and she worked in Zaire, Africa. And she came home and told this story because she realized how the orphan children that she worked with this little orphan girl showed her that she had, this child had faith in God above and beyond the circumstances, and yet the missionary herself was very convicted that she realized she only believed God in an intellectual sense when it came to believing God for the miraculous. Let me share this with you, and I believe it'll really bless you. But you can tell that this little girl had intense faith. One night, I had worked hard to help a mother in the labor ward, but in spite of all we could do, she died, leaving us with a tiny premature baby and a crying 2-year-old daughter. We would have difficulty keeping the baby alive as we had no incubator. We had no electricity to run an incubator. We also had no special feeding facilities. Although we lived on the equator, the nights were often chilly with treacherous drafts. One student midwife went for the box which we had for such small babies and the cotton wool the baby would be wrapped in. Another went to stoke up the fire and fill a hot water bottle. She came back shortly in distress to tell me that while she was filling the hot water bottle, it had burst. Rubber perishes easily in tropical climates. "And it's our last hot water bottle," she cried. As in the West, it's no good crying over spilled milk, so in Africa, you could say there's no good crying over burst water bottles. They don't grow on trees, and there are no drugstores down the forest pathways. "All right," I said, "put the baby as near to the fire as you safely can and sleep between the baby and the door to keep it free from drafts. Your job," I told her, "was to keep the baby warm." The following noon, as I did on most days, I went to have prayer with some of the orphan children who chose to gather with me. I gave the youngsters various suggestions of things to pray about, and I told them about the tiny premature baby. I explained our problem about keeping the baby warm enough, and I mentioned the loss of the hot water bottle. The baby could so easily die if it got chills. I also told them of the 2-year-old sister who was crying because her mother had died. During the prayer time, one 10-year-old girl, Ruth, prayed with the usual blunt conciseness of our African children. "Please, God," she prayed, "send us a water bottle. It'll be no good tomorrow, God, as the baby will be dead, so please send it this afternoon." While I gasped inwardly at the audacity of this prayer, she added, "And while you're at it, would you please send a dolly for the little girl so she'll know you really care for her?" As often with children's prayers, I was put on the spot. Could I honestly say amen? I just did not believe that God could do this. "Oh, yes, I know, He can do everything. The Bible says so, but there are limits, aren't there? The only way God could answer this particular prayer, I thought, would be by sending me a parcel from the homeland. And I had been in Africa for almost 4 years at that time, and I never, ever had received a parcel from home. Anyway, if anyone did send me a parcel, who would put a hot water bottle in it? I lived on the equator. Halfway through the afternoon while I was teaching at the nurse's school, a message was sent that there was a car at my front door. By the time I reached home, the car was gone, but there on my veranda was a 22-pound parcel. I felt the tears streaming down my face. I couldn't open the parcel alone, so I sent for the orphanage children. Together we tore into it. Excitement was mounting. Some 30 or 40 pairs of eyes were focused on the large cardboard box. From the top, I lifted out brightly colored jerseys and passed them out, then bandages for leprosy patients, and then a box of raisins. And then I put my hand in again, and I grasped something and pulled it out, and yes, it was a brand new rubber hot water bottle. I cried. I had not asked God to send it. I had not even truly believed that He could. Ruth was in the front row of the children. She rushed forward crying, "If God has sent that bottle, He must have sent the dolly too." Rummaging in the box, she pulled out a beautifully dressed doll. Her eyes shone. She had never doubted. Looking up at me, she asked, "Can I go over with you and give this dolly to that little girl so she'll know that Jesus really loves her?" That parcel had been on the way for 5 whole months. And God had answered by putting that rubber hot water bottle and a dolly in 5 months before in answer to the believing prayer of a 10-year-old child in Africa. In Isaiah 65:24, it says, "Before they call, I will answer." God is faithful who promised. Believe Him today and have a victorious week.
Thanks for joining us today for Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland. If you would like to support this ministry, please write to us at Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 3267, Tustin, California, 92781. That's P.O. Box 3267, Tustin, California, 92781. Visit our website at www.hiddenwithchrist.com, where you may order tapes or submit a prayer request. Or call us at toll-free 1-866-HE-HEALS. Again, thanks for joining us for Keys to Victorious Christian Living.